This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour three, G-Bag Nation here on your home of the Rangers. This time tomorrow, they'll be third or fourth inning playing baseball at the Globe opening day now right around the corner. Joining us now, a special guest, an honorary special guest for his opening day exploits, 10-year big leaguer, DH for the Rangers. Hit a bomb in the 2022 opening day against Toronto and the 2023 opening day against the Phillies. Back-to-back opening day homers for Brad Miller, who joins us now here on The Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm good. If I could have just had every game like opening day, I think I would have been all right. Those are some good ones.
Yeah, that was great, man. Were you always amazing right out of the gates like that, or was that just special for us?
I don't think I'd ever hit a home run opening day prior to being on the Rangers. I mean, I don't remember, maybe some good series, but definitely not anything memorable on opening days. So, it was fun.
It was just a couple of years ago. And now, do you think opening day will carry more weight for you for the rest of your life as a result?
I definitely will. Maybe the farther we get away from it, I'll just tell people I did that every opening day. It was the best. They'll just remember kind of the last two. But I think it's this should be pretty exciting, getting to watch some real baseball again. And, with spring training kind of wrapping up and now I feel like, we're just ready to watch some baseball in our house and get this season going. It's very exciting.
Now, are you still ready to play if that phone rings, Brad?
No. That's the other thing I was about to say. I feel like I am so far from being able to do that. I was so fortunate. I loved every minute of it, but just physically at the end there, the wheels kind of fell off and, I wasn't really able to do anything. Definitely not at that level. So completely happily retired and just a fan.
Well, Brad, obviously we're pumped to get this 2025 Texas Rangers season ready to rock. You know a lot of these guys very, very well. What are your realistic expectations for the club as we get ready for the new season?
Yeah, I'm excited too. I love these guys. My best memories in baseball period was just being a small part of that, team in 2023. And that was just insane. So I've got a lot of love for the core group of guys, and I'm excited. I think it sounds like you know, they're not happy with how last year went, and some guys are ready to get back out there and hungry, and, you know, got some more fresh faces. You know, I saw they just said Kamar and Jack are, you know, in the rotation to start the year, which is exciting. And I'm really pumped. I think you're going to see a lot of guys kind of return to form this year, and the faces they brought in, I think, are going to really augment the great core that they have. So I'm ready to watch the boys.
Former Ranger Brad Miller with us here on The Fan. As a veteran guy in that clubhouse and knowing what Evan Carter is going through right now, what would be some words that you would want to share with him in this time?
Yeah, I think obviously he was incredible for us in 2023 and gave us that jolt that kind of, you know, propelled us and was a huge part of that team. And, you know, I think the interesting thing is, like, being a major leaguer isn't about really the good times. You know, it's I think being a major league player is about how you handle some adversity, big and small, you know, whether it's an injury like he had with his back, and, you know, just a tough year being able to stay on the field. And then when you're kind of piecing it together, of course you're not in a groove and you're not playing well. So I think this is going to be great. He's still so young. He'll go down, he'll reset, you know, he'll get his legs back under him. And, you know, I would imagine he is going to be a very large part of the Rangers' big season this year. You know, he just has to get back out and play consistently, and he's going to be fine. He's so gifted, and sometimes a little, I know nobody wants to be sent down, of course, but I do think getting to catch your breath a little bit and realize this is temporary, and you go down there and kind of break down the door again, he's going to be great and off to the races when he gets called back up.
So big game, Nate. Nathan Eovaldi's getting the ball for opening day. Now, you've gotten to face Evo quite a few times in your career, but also got to play with him, of course. So what makes Evo such a challenge in the box to play against, but also so great as a teammate?
So, yeah, first of all, he's on the Mount Rushmore of best teammates, period. You can ask anybody that's played with him, and his name gets brought up. He's the hardest worker you got on your team, but he brings such a positive attitude, but he's got this sense of urgency and this intensity, but he just, you can tell he enjoys what he does, and he wants everybody else to succeed. So Evo's been interesting, you know, as his career's kind of evolved. He's played forever, and he came up and he was this big Texas fireballer from Alvin, you know, that threw 101, and his game has kind of evolved. He threw hard back in the day, and then he's developed this split finger, and, you know, he's battled back from Tommy John at a really inopportune time, you know, when he was about to be a free agent, and he didn't even blink, you know. And that's where I first came across Evo, was he was rehabbing his Tommy John with the Rays when I was there. And he wasn't going to pitch for us all year, but every single game he was on the top step, and he watched every pitch of that year, which was – I couldn't believe it. Like, he was just, he blew all of us away. So the next year when he was able to get healthy, get traded to the Red Sox and win a World Series, it was like, you know, that's exactly what that guy deserves. So Evo's the best, but now it's cool to watch him because he has kind of shifted as a pitcher, right? He doesn't throw 100 anymore. He still throws hard, but he has this split finger that is just an equalizer, and he has this cutter, and he has these different motions. So, you know, bottom line is, no matter what he's throwing up there, like, he's going to get guys out. He just is too strong upstairs to not have success.
It's former Ranger Brad Miller here with you on The Fan. Take us back to 2023 and some memorable developments of that World Series season early on. What impact did it have when DeGrom was lost after six starts?
Yeah, that was just playing on his team, too. Like, I remember the beginning of that year, every time he took the mound in the first inning and, like, it started coming out, like, we all looked around and we're like, is he going to throw a no-hitter today? Like, every single time he took the ball, we're like, is today, like, he might do it. He might throw a no-hitter. Like, he's just that gifted. And same thing, right? He blew out, and obviously we remember how devastated he was and emotional. And, you know, obviously he had dealt with probably, I would imagine, some sort of the same injury for those years. He just pitched through it, right? You know, he really just wanted the post, and he pitched through it probably more than he should have, you know, but he tried. And the thing about him was, you know, once he got hurt, obviously had surgery, he was there with us the whole time. He was amazing. You know, he's a guy, it sounds crazy, but, you know, even if he's not pitching, he brings so much value. So, you know, it's just that he also is, you know, one of the best to ever throw a baseball. So, you know, I am just so thrilled for him. I would love to see him just go and tear it up, and I think he's going to. So, you know, he's one of the best. Super humble.
What happened to the offense last year, Brad?
You know, I think it's a tough league. You know, the pitching is incredible, and I think also too, you know, maybe we took it for granted how hard it is, because in 2023, I think that lineup made it look really easy. I mean, I think there was a stretch of like a month where I only faced position players because I would go into the game when we were up like 10 or 15. Like, I want to say literally, like, Boach knew. He's like, all right, we got this little middle infielder up there, Brad. This is your guy. Like, and I would just tee off on these position players. So they just made it look easy. And I think, you know, every season you got to earn it. And every season, you know, it's new. So I think really it's probably you just chalk it up to baseball. And then also, too, right, there's expectations. So maybe once we don't get out of the gate how we did in 23, maybe some guys start forcing it. And, you know, as a player, that's so hard because you know that forcing it and pressing is not the issue. I mean, not the answer. But what are you going to do? You care so much and you want results. So probably a little bit of that. You know, it is a momentum-based game. And in 23, we kind of got out the gates and nobody was talking about us. We kind of get out the gates great. So maybe, you know, just, you know, dealing with that target on your back, who knows? I don't know. But, you know, I would imagine we're going to see a lot closer to 23 this year out of some guys than last year for sure.
That's certainly the key that CY has tried to preach is starting hot this year. You brought up Boach. Well, you've played for a lot of different skippers, been around a lot of different coaches in baseball. But what sets Boach apart? I mean, from our outside looking in, he's just a bleeping legend.
100%. And obviously, it's like, you know, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Like, obviously, we got him at the end of his Hall of Fame career. So it's like he immediately steps into a room and demands your attention and has your respect because of what we know he's been in the game. But I would imagine even back in the day when he started his coaching career, everybody probably respected him and cared about what he had to say just because of how he is. He's the same guy. So every year in spring training, it's so funny, you know, when there's no wins or losing streaks, I feel like the staff always says, okay, this is what we're going to do this year, guys. You know, we're going to have this routine, you know, how we take BP on the first day, and then the second day we'll it'll be optional. Then the third day it'll be a show and go. And it's like this grand idea, right? And then you hit your first losing streak at the end of April or maybe beginning of May, and the coaching staff just immediately, you know, switches up, and it becomes, okay, nope, we got early BP tomorrow. You guys aren't hitting. And the decisions become, you know, punitive, or it's a reward if you are playing well. Okay, well, we're going to pull it back a little bit. Well, I was so impressed in 23. I felt like the coaching staff just stayed the same and just said, nope, this is what we do. We preach these routines to you guys, consistency, you know, not getting too high or too low. And they did it, guys, all year. We did the same exact thing. We had the same schedule, and Boachy did not waver. We get swept in Cincinnati, and we're not really playing well. Nope, we do the same thing. So he's just so consistent. And then once we got to the postseason, I promise you, it was something we said out loud. It was like, hey, like, we're here. Like, just trust Boach, let him do his thing. You know, if he goes to pull a pitcher and bring another guy in, we know it's the right move. So it's like, then his kind of aura just kind of gave us all confidence. So I think those two things were the main things that kind of like get me fired up with Boach, because he just executed, you know, that to a T and was just so consistent with us.
What do you think about some of the changes in the rules that MLB has tried to implement over the years? Now we just had the automatic ball and strike system, but you were there, of course, for the pitch clock. And maybe we get the robo-umps one day. I don't know how you feel about that, if you've had any great altercation with an umpire you didn't agree with the ball or strike call.
Oh, man, I wish I didn't. I never had a good – there was never a good scenario where I, you know, got ejected and I looked back and I go, man, that was really cool. Like, I'm glad I did that. You know, it was always kind of – a lot of times the next day it was me apologizing to these guys because they're doing their best. And I would always tell them, like, hey, I'm sorry. I'm crazy. Like, you know, I didn't mean that. Like, I really wish I didn't do that. So, you know, I had about 4 or 5 ejections in my career. But – I think the changes they've made, although, yeah, they seemed a little weird at first, I think they've been great for the game. I love the pace of play. I love the quickness to it and the crisp kind of flow of the game. I don't think it changes too much. I think guys got adjusted to it. So now it's not even, you know, something I think that guys are really even worried about, whereas the first couple springs I felt like it was harped on a lot. And the ABS, I mean I think it's something with these challenge systems. It brings another entertainment aspect to it. You know, you've seen some clips during spring and some guys, you know, almost like, you know, showboating when they know they got it right. And mm-hmm. some different Mike Micinski, the umpire, you know, got on the intercom and was like, shocking, but I got it right, you know, and stuff like that. It brings a fun element. I just think the league in general probably wants more offense, and I'm a hitter. So, of course, I would be, you know, in theory, if they can get it done right where everybody feels good about it, then, yeah, of course, I would like the automated system because I think it does probably, you know, shrink the zone in and out a little bit.
The former Ranger, the World Series champ, 11 seasons in the big leagues, Brad Miller. Great job, man. Thanks for your insights and perspective.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. It's fun talking Ranger baseball.
Salute. We'll have to do it again soon.
Yep.
Cheers. Thanks, guys. There he goes. Brad Miller with you here on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. First pitch tomorrow, 3:05. We'll be on after the game. We'll be on after the game to talk Rangers baseball opening day with you. Look forward to chatting more about it. But coming up next, it's time for a top 10. Well, Chuck, where are you taking it?
All right. Well, in honor of opening day tomorrow, we got the top 10 opening day performances in Major League Baseball history. What are some of your favorite opening day memories? 877-881-1053. We'll do that next in the Nation.
Yeah, buddy. Welcome back. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. With Franklin Frankel, there's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Hitting the halfway point here, opening day tomorrow. Here he is, Zach, with an H. Your woolly bully.
All right, let's talk a little baseball, shall we? 877-881-1053. What do you think about opening day? And what's the best performance you've ever seen on opening day? Hell of an interview. Great job. Pumped to start the season from the 817.
Yeah, Brad was good.
Brad Miller crushing it, and I could definitely see broadcasting in his future. He was very appreciative as well about having him on, so he's ready to get the season going. I think everybody is, man. I know the players are, the broadcasters are, the fans are. We're ready to put away 2024, get that bad taste out of our mouths, and look forward to a glorious run deep into October, hopefully early November, and hoisting once again that Commissioner's Trophy as World Series champions.
Yes, yes, I want that. And I mean, last year's opening day for the Rangers was pretty badass.
It was really badass.
That Cubs game?
Yeah.
And we were...
El Blondie, right?
In attendance, yeah, El Blondie, but Jonah Heim, remember, because there was the disputed tip?
It was the double. Yes, he had that call, then came back.
But then he had the 10th inning Ribby single.
Walk-off.
And but that's why we had our headline
Jankowski
that day.
Jankowski do something?
Jankowski in the ninth was able to force it into extra innings for the home run.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I knew. Yeah. God, I thought it was.
Blondie had a huge role, but I think the headline was Redemption Heim.
Yep, Redemption Heim, certainly.
That was good, yeah.
And then we had, of course, the banner being unveiled. And I get what they were talking about. Yeah, well, we did have, like, you know,
the
people
snafu.
Make fun of it, that it was wrinkled and that it was a little bit plain. Whatever, it's our banner and we'll love it forever and cherish it. But it was a badass moment. But I do think, you know, and we played some of the audio a week or two ago from Foul Territory where they interviewed Boach.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, him and Corey Seager, who had previously won World Series, Corey, of course, with the Dodgers, Boach with the Giants, and said, you know, that's the issue with the World Series hangover, because you have these celebrations that then last into the season. Like anytime a former player comes back, you're now doing another ring ceremony for the player. So you're constantly being like reminded by that of that. And the celebratory moments like don't just end so you can really go ahead and close the book on that chapter and move forward. So this year, you won't have to deal with any of that extra added hoopla. You really are. It's a new season and you're not champions. And now you're back out there hunting instead of being the hunted, which is also being reminded of what you accomplished previously. But now you're trying to still accomplish the next goal.
Nothing like having to prove something to yourself and others. You know, and I think in the immediate aftermath after getting to the top, it's really difficult, especially in a grind sport like baseball. It's so difficult to choose. You know, the Rangers have one of the best opening day histories in all of baseball. I'd probably go with 91, Nolan Ryan, age 44, getting it done with the win.
Nolan Ryan, man, any Nolan Ryan opening day memory you've got, probably glorious. 877-881-1053. I do think a couple years ago, well, last year definitely is up there. The Phillies game was wild. That was a back-and-forth affair that we just talked to Brad Miller about, hitting that home run.
Rangers had a 9-run fourth inning.
Craziness, man. They came back, rallied, were able to get that victory. Number 10 here, and this is from MLB.com, best opening day performances in history. Brian remembers as well. We go all the way back to 1937.
Oh.
4-for-4, a double, a triple, a homer, and a couple of runs as Guy Walker, right fielder of the Tigers, helped them end up winning the World Series in 35. Then he hit 353 with 55 doubles in 36. But opening day the next year at Detroit's Navin Field, he batted fifth behind three Hall of Famers, Mickey Cochran, Charlie Gehringer, and Hank Greenberg, and in front of another Goose Goslin. What a bleeping lineup this was. But this was Walker's day. Not only did he hit for the only opening day cycle in Major League Baseball history, but he did so in the minimum four plate appearances. Wow. Walker knocked out his list in reverse order with a go-ahead solo bomb in the second, leadoff triple game-tying run score in the fourth, and a double in the fifth before finishing it off with the maraschino cherry on top with the single in the seventh. That's how it's done, an opening day cycle. Hello, Wyatt Langford. Where are you and what are you doing tomorrow? I think cycling.
Yeah, I'll drink to that. Sounds terrific. And so will Rafael Palmeiro, who hit a walk-off dong in 2000 for the game.
Rafi.
Opening day.
Number 9, Adley Rutschman, 2023 O's. Went 5-for-5 with a homer, a walk, and four RBIs.
Was that his first year?
This might have been, he might have played 2022.
Okay, sorry, but didn't mean to ask.
I think 2023 was his first full year.
Yeah, okay.
I think it was his first opening day.
Jeez.
So this is incredible. He got the Orioles season started with a bang. Crushed a homer off Corey Kluber in the first inning at Fenway.
Oh.
By the end of the game, he'd made history. 25-year-old became the first catcher on record since 1901 to have a five-hit game on opening day. Five hits is tied for the modern opening day record. He also became the 13th player at any position to do this. Also added a walk to his five hits to become just the eighth player on record to reach base safely six times on opening day.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. That's incredible. Number 8, Booby Bob Gibson. 1967 Cardinals. Were you there?
I was there.
9 innings of shutout ball, 13 Ks, only allowing 5 hits. This season began a run of Gibson starting on opening day for 9 straight years. He made the most of the assignment.
I think the Cardinals won the World Series that year, 67.
You're probably right. He was brilliant. He was ready from the first pitch, striking out each of the first 5 batters he faced, including Willie Mays and Willie McCovey.
Jeez.
And he did. He ended up earning World Series MVP honors that year, Brian.
Mm.
Dimitri Young, 2005, he was DHing for the Tigers. 11-2, Tigers beat the Royals. Just 4 players have swatted 3 home runs on opening day. George Bell, Tuffy Rhodes, and Matt Davidson, and Dimitri Young. Young is the only one to do so while also recording 4 hits and 5 ribbies. It was a dominant performance, with Young smacking off a solo shot in the second inning and a 2-run shot in the third off KC starter Jose Lima. 6, Kirk Gibson, 1986 with the Tigers. Gosh, Detroit Tiger opening day history is pretty rich.
It is.
Yeah. This is unreal.
Playing in the snow, too, while they're doing
it. Yeah, probably cold, and the ball's traveling because it's a lot of dongs here. Two seasons after this, Gibby would hit one of the most famous home runs ever. We know about that in the World Series. I can't believe what I just saw. His performance on this early April afternoon at Tiger Stadium isn't nearly so legendary, but it was fantastic nonetheless. After singling in his first two at-bats and driving in a run, Gibby mashed a go-ahead two-run homer off Boston's Bruce Hurst in the fifth. Red Sox moved back in front. Gibby then launched another two-run shot in the seventh against Sammy Stewart to give the Tigers the lead for good.
Sammy.
You know, doing some opening day research here, I see in 2019 our very own Jock Peterson.
Yes.
Two homers with the Dodgers. Maybe he can rekindle some of that.
I'll put in the call for it, Jimmy Jock.
You think he's going to... You think he's going to wear that yellow? I love the bright color stuff that he does with the gloves and the elbow pads and the cleats. When we were in surprise, he was doing like the baby blues, neon blues and stuff. But he's lately been doing the bright yellows.
Changes it up.
I wonder what his opening day attire is going to be.
Man's got style.
He does. That necklace he wears, that's iconic.
It is. Yeah, we'll hear about it in the montage here in a few minutes.
Bob Feller, number five, starting pitcher for Cleveland. Yep, record no-hitter. Only pitcher to record a no-hitter in both the AL and NL season opener.
What?
Yeah, crazy.
That's not even happen.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Nine innings, no hits, five walks, eight Ks. Number four, we got Jim Presley. Go to 1986 with the Mariners, third baseman. Reached base in two of his first three plate appearances, but it was his work over the final two innings of the Kingdome that made his opening day notable and jump-started his lone All-Star
Dawson was trying
campaign.
To get into the game that day.
Well, with Gavin looking closely, the Mariners were down to their final three outs. Presley then launched a game-tying two-run homer to send the game to extras. Gavin now was able to slide in over the fence, got in to watch extras with two outs and the bases loaded in the 10th. Presley goes deep again. He remains one of three players with a walk-off grand slam on opening day, along with Milwaukee's Sixto Lascano.
Sixto Lascano.
Number six, Olson.
Number 16 for the Brewers.
Sixto, what a sexy name.
Sixto Lascano, yep.
Number three, we got Raul Mondesi. 1999 with the Dodgers. Four for five, couple of runs, a walk, and six ribbies. Number two is Clayton Kershaw, Highland Park zone with the Dodgers in 2013. Dodgers. You know that old National League motto to shut them out and hit one out? Well, rang true for Kershaw Yep, he did against the rival Giants, beginning a season that would produce the lefty's second NL Cy Young Award. He carried a shutout through eight innings, but got no support. So what did he do?
He had to hit it.
He swatted the first home run of his career, clearing the center field wall off reliever George Kontos. The Dodgers scored three more runs in the inning. Kershaw completed the shutout, needed just 94 pitches to do so. He became the first hurler in 60 years to throw a shutout and hit a homer on opening day. Number one, though, is Walter Johnson, the original Texas Rangers, the Washington Senators, 1926. Yep, the big train's already, he was approaching the end of his legendary Hall of Fame career. He was 38 at the time. Put more than 5,000 innings on his right arm, and he would pitch his final 18 games the next season, but some magic still remained. And the last of Johnson's 14 opening day starts, he twirled one of his all-time record 110 shutouts in a game that didn't end until Joe Harris walk-off hit in the 15th inning at Griffith Stadium. That performance holds opening day records for game score, and a win probability added.
He pitched all 15 innings?
On opening day. 15 innings pitched, six hits, no runs, three walks,
nine. What's the manager doing, like over there having a smoke?
It's what they used to do in 1926. Man, we didn't have a bullpen. Bullpen? Who needs a bullpen?
Big train going out.
Unbelievable, man.
These days, they need a cigarette if you go longer than five.
Very different. And you know what? We got with Tritely, you used to be able to. You were in the. You did, what was the
Oregon
visiting
the clubhouse?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You probably got some good opening day stories.
You know, I think the coolest thing was getting to wear the, Houston Astros jersey 2018 as 45,000 people are in the old ballpark and just walk out onto the field and see just, and I mean, I'm 21 at the time. I'm like, what do I need to be doing out here? Yeah. There was a bag that ran on the field and I had to run, it stopped the game.
A bag flew onto the field. Yeah.
And I had to run out and go get it. And all these fans are like, what's the reason for the stoppage? Now I have to come out there and run. And I didn't know what was happening at the time. I had to go run out there and
chase down a bag.
I think it was AJ Hinch who was like, hey, go get that. And I was like, oh, okay. All right. So then everybody's just watching. Yeah.
We got to get that video. That'd be funny to watch you try to
chase around. Bobby would find that video. Bobby would find that video. That's amazing, I swear he would.
He could do it. Yeah.
That is really neat.
Well, thank you, Wolchuk.
Thank you.
Good story.
Top 10 at 4:20 every afternoon here in the G-Bag Nation. Chief, what's next? Sounds of the sports. I will say, the football's finest at the top of the hour. We got some big-time football news coming out of the woodworks. Mm. Okay, so top of the hour is going to be fantastic.
Is Dak getting traded?
We will send you in. No, that is not happening. But we will send you into the 5 o'clock hour with Sounds of the Sports Day. We got our clubhouse montage. We'll prep your bodies for opening day. That's next year in the nation. There's James Tritely just flat out getting it done here for you on a Wednesday. Stud. Filling in for Lucius Alexander. We got football's finest coming up at 5 o'clock. A big tease from the Chief there. If you missed that about 5-6 minutes ago, that was a really professional tease. I'm fired up for finest. But right now, it's Sounds of the Sports Day. Here's the Chief. But Bryce is watchdogging. What's up?
Can you deliver on this thing?
I'm going to stand and deliver, and we're going to see.
Are you?
You know, my confidence.
You're not
going
to make me have to jump in on
you. You need to ask the question, Brian.
I just, man, that was a.
That was powerful.
Teeth.
I don't want to.
And Dawson just kind of doubled down on it. And I'm a little worried for you right now.
The chances of me under delivering are certainly, you know, they're above zero. But we're all going to find out together live at 5 o'clock. I'm excited about it. Also excited about Sounds of the Sports Day. This is an opening day edition as we prep our bodies. Right now, we're in the midst of hopefully a Rangers lead tomorrow. Scoreless.
Can I make a request out there? If you go to opening day, you're a fan out there. Send us a picture of that baked potato thing.
Yeah.
If you could,
how
please.
Messy does
like,
it look?
In your hand as well. We want to see like the dimensions. See,
yeah, and just kind of and put your hands on it, like around by it, and we'll see how big it really, really is. That's what we're going to need to do.
That sounds great.
Yep.
Okay, let's start with our guy Wyatt Langford on MLB Network talking about the things that he was doing this offseason to set himself up for an all-star season.
Yeah, I lift a lot. You know, I really enjoy lifting, so that's probably part of it, but this was really my first real off season, between college and then last year. I actually took a lot of time off, no hitting, no swinging, nothing like that. And it was great. I just lifted for a long time, started hitting again like January, which is definitely the longest I've gone in my life without hitting. And it felt really good. So my body feels like it's in a really good spot now.
Okay. Yeah, it looks like he made all the right decisions in this offseason.
Best shape of his life.
Yep. I think it's true. You could tell the difference in him physically. He was impressive last year. Mm-hmm. This year looks even more like an NFL linebacker. And I think across the board, just the general freshness, the fatigue of the long 2023 season, and for him doing college and then into the minors, and then, you know, it's a lot. So I think that time off for a lot of these guys is going to be hugely beneficial. And I see a lot of MLB preseason bold predictions that have Wyatt Langford as an all-star. So all things are on the up and up from the Langford standpoint. Now, this is a throwback clip from a few years ago. Lenny Dykstra was on with Colin Cowherd, and I couldn't believe what he was revealing. He was teasing his book that was coming out at the time, like 2017, 2018.
You had to bleep him a couple times?
Listen to what I don't think there was any bleeps necessary in this one, but listen to him talk about what he used to do to get the umpires on his side.
You used to keep a book on umpires? You were very smart that way.
Well, a little more of that.
What'd you do?
I said, I need these umpires. So what do? I just pull $500,000 out and I hired a private investigation team. Follow them. Their blood's just as red as ours. Some of them like women. Some of them like men. Some of them gamble. Some of them do whatever.
So you had PIs tracking umpires through your career or just a few years?
No, like when after I got the money, you know, when I was trying to get the money. It wasn't a coincidence you think that I led the league in walks the next few years, was it?
So you really think...
I don't think, I know.
Jeez. Did you bribe him?
I don't know. No, fear does a lot to a man. Hey, so did you cover last night? You called a strike. Oh, I don't think you heard me. Did you cover the spread last night? Next.
Have you told anybody else this?
You're the first one, man. And one of my book.
That's pretty good.
It gets better.
But basically you're saying better. You had a dossier on umpires, and you found, you know, if they were cheating around on their wife or doing something like that?
Hey, look, I had to do what I had to do to win and to support my family.
I had to do what I had to do.
That is amazing.
Isn't that incredible?
It is amazing, yeah.
I mean, he was getting dirt on the umps and then using it against them while at the plate. Like, bro, I'm getting on base here one way or another.
Yeah.
Now, we do have to consider with Lenny Dykstra that this is possibly entirely made up
okay.
by a mentally unstable drug addict alcoholic.
You can hear it in his
yeah.
voice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
it's some shake voice.
You yeah. can't rule it out. I mean, intense. And he did suddenly have 129 walks in 1993 after never having more than 90. You know?
It's a crazy jump. Maybe for a year it worked for him.
What an unbelievable revelation there.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it too.
I do too. Yeah,
you're not hurting anybody.
No,
you're just threatening them with information.
Just, not threatening blackmail.
It's just words.
Hey, Ken Kaiser,
I could ruin your life. You like,
guys, hey, I got to feed my family one way or another.
Go ahead and put me on first, please.
What are you hurting anyway? No,
I'm getting on that bag one way or another, dude. That's hilarious.
Gosh.
Okay,
I mean, it's kind of like a wise guy mafia thing to do, but at least he's not hurting anybody,
right?
But I guess you're right. I mean, that is quite a bit of anxiety.
It's intense.
It's mental anguish. Yeah.
That you could ruin a life for sure.
Yeah,
hey, dude. But my kids are gonna eat though.
Hey, but I'm getting on base,
and I'll be on base
to get that walk.
Yeah. All right, we have now the moment we've been waiting for. This is our spring training clubhouse montage. This is your Texas Rangers, and this is how we send you into opening day. Now, yesterday there was a lot of, you know, who's going to lead the team in dongs conversation, and it sounds like plenty of the tolls, maybe anti-dong at this point. So perhaps this is the retiring of the dong in its proper state.
As part of baseball parlance?
As a part of our lexicon. So if this is the final nail in the dong coffin, appreciate the next 3 minutes.
Cody, I'm 100% with you. I think Jared's going to suck on TV this year as well. All right, let's go ahead and start this thing. 3, 2, 1.
Yeah. What do you think about Sean Sharif getting a minor league deal?
I don't know who that is.
Sean Sharif? He's the first Indian-American pitcher to be signed by the Rangers. Pretty badass.
You're looking so damn good. I'm impressed the physique.
Fight machine.
Everything about it.
Yes.
The roids are setting in nicely. Just everything about you. It's incredible. Right.
I'll take it. I'll take what I get. I appreciate it.
What is the better feeling? Is it robbing the dong or hitting the dong?
Who's the teammate you'd be most willing to pee on their hands for?
Ooh.
In order to win another championship.
What do you get when you mix human DNA and goat DNA?
I don't know. What do you get?
Kicked out the zoo.
Bradford just said that he would pee on your hands if you needed it for a championship.
That's
is that cool?
It's unrealistic, but
if it was like, hey, the only way that Tyler Mahle is going to be a World Series champion
even talking about that?
Is if Cody Bradford pees on your hands.
How did this even come up?
We were just talking. We're going inside baseball.
If you could be a woman for a day, what's the first thing you'd do?
So I heard you were the most excited in the clubhouse about the new Naked and Afraid and Disabled with that naked chick with no legs walking into the woods on her knuckles.
She's palming it, man.
Is this real?
Yeah, she's scraping taint on Bush.
Have you figured out yet who on the Rangers beat is the biggest watcher?
What'd you think of Gavin Dawson finally getting a minor league deal? It's about time somebody gave him another chance.
That was cool, wasn't it? Super cool.
It's been a long road back from recovery. The alcoholism was really strong.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
You don't know Gavin?
No.
What sound does a beer cat make? Well. What's the most impressive thing you do in the weight room?
I kind of don't really know where the weight room is.
And then are you rocking the assless chaps out in the sun? Because I can see there's some tan lines.
We respect the glute work that you put in this offseason. That's all.
Yeah.
Admiring from a distance.
Yeah, you got to work on your cake.
How often do you fart in the batter's box and blame the catcher?
It happens a decent amount.
So Tyler Mahle's naked right here and he's trying to dry off. We're not being professional.
Embarrassing.
I like to keep it, mess around in the clubhouse, have a good time with the boys, keep it loose.
I just notice how comfortable you are. Like you're just hanging schvons right in our face and you got no concern.
You just got Derek.
You're on record with Cocaine Bear being one of your favorite movies of all time.
I'm not on record.
We just found out Peyton Russell just got signed minor league deal. What do you think about this kid?
He's with the squad now.
Who is this guy?
Asperger's.
Who's the most confident guy that just loves to walk around with his shirt off in the clubhouse?
Probably DeGrom.
You're such a baseball guy. Like, how often are you, like, do you find yourself dreaming about just smashing dongs at night?
Not quite what I dream about, nope.
So are you, like, do you like reptiles?
Whose dong was it?
Ronald Acuna Jr.
It's a special thing. We're just bringing him in, giving him a shot. Could be the first ever pitcher with Asperger's to start.
Really?
All right, I'm a magic genie. You can have 2 inches of height or 2 inches of length. Who's the easiest pitcher to go dong on in camp so far?
Are we not doing Gold Bond in this
clubhouse? There's Gold Bond, but they don't put it in the bathroom, so what's up with that?
What's up with the necklace? I'm noticing you are these...
Those are four-leaf clovers?
It's called Van Cleef. It's just a...
Did you say Van Cleef?
I got a phobia of toing in public places. Like, I'll hold that sucker in until I get home. Are you weird about that, or will you just freeball it?
Hey, how many dongs are you going to hit this year?
I don't know. Hopefully a lot.
No, I agree, Luke. I think Jared's going to suck on TV this year, too. See you, Luke.
He does suck, yeah.
Big thank you to Cody Bradford, Tyler Malley, Mark Church, Jock Peterson, Luke Jackson, Sebastian Walcott, and Joe Barlow for their participation in this year's Clubhouse montage.
Van Cleef.
Excellent work, boys.
Let's send you into opening day with the worst question ever asked on radio.
Boomstick burrito looks pretty impressive, though.
No.
I'd like to take that down. I think we're going to get
that's not it.
That's G-bag of the
opening day.
Day
to take that down.
It's okay. James, is there another one in there? My incompetent question? If it's not, then that's disappointing.
Yeah, I don't have that one in there at the moment.
Okay.
How
back
about
to
we,
you, live in
we'll
studio,
circle
Kevin
back
Dawson.
To that one.
How about we just hear, do you dream about smashing dongs at night again?
I can't believe
you asked that question to a professional baseball player.
He's a baseball guy.
Surprise
he said no.
We'll just sprinkle Dinkles some dong in every once in a while.
Three down, two to go. You guys just play it by ear. Or maybe something else. Football's Finest coming up next, though. Chief, where are you taking it?
Big NFL booth news. Schefter with a bombshell top 3 draft report. And we hear from Russell Wilson, your newest Giant, next year in the nation.